You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. You like football? We've got football. You like basketball? We've got some basketball picks for you. You like boxing? We've got one of the greatest boxers ever to step up into the squared circle. B-Hop, the real B-Hop, the executioner, Bernard Hopkins, will join us on the program today. We've got the professor, Dave Malinsky, straight from the Strip of Las Vegas, Nevada. Chris Meaney will talk some pucks. You like hockey? Full slate of NHL games on tap this evening. The St. Louis Blues and the Montreal Canadiens highlight the card tonight. A couple hours ago, man, the Blues were like minus 120, minus 125 favorites. I hit refresh and the Blues were minus 160 favorites. So I don't have to check anything else to know. Carey Price must not be playing tonight. So we'll be breaking that down with Chris Meaney. I've got a couple of hockey picks for you tonight. I got some college basketball picks. Good night last night. Strong night last night. We told you that the Pacers were in a bad spot. And I think Klay Thompson basically outscored the Pacers last night. It's about damn time, too. My fantasy basketball team sucks. I don't know why. I got a good team, but I'm 1-3-1 for one reason or another. So I could have used the 60-plus outing from somebody. And we got it. Speaking of fantasy football playoffs are here across the board. We'll break that down later in the week. I'm fired up to win some money. It's been a long grind, man. You know, the DFS stuff's cool, but it's still nice to be part of the old school league, and all that work that you put in comes down to a random stupid playoff matchup, man. I hate that part of it, but it is what it is. Bring it on. So, yeah, we got a ton of stuff to get to on the program today. Like I said, Bernard Hopkins, how cool is that? I was actually at Bernard Hopkins when he won the championship, the light heavyweight championship against Jean Pascal. I believe it was 2011 at the Bell Center in Montreal. I was there. And he became like the second oldest dude ever to win a championship. And of course, George Foreman was the oldest before that. Bernard Hopkins fighting at 51. Years old, going on 52. Yet, yeah, he's still got it. He doesn't have it like he used to have it. He's 51. But this is his swan song, his final fight. So I look forward to talking to a true legend in Bernard Hopkins. All right, so let's get down to business, and it's time to kick off the program. Let's start off by talking about the National Football League and some Super Bowl odds. So we're 13 weeks in right now, and it's hard to believe, man, but the Super Bowl is officially less than 2 months away right now. Who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl? Well, if you look at the mainstream websites, you know, the SI.com, CBS, ESPN, etc., they're all going to have their power rankings. But the problem is with their power rankings, these jackasses basically flip-flop more than a U.S. congressman does on a week-by-week basis from what they saw. Oh, this team won. They're great. This team lost. They've got big problems. And in the big picture, there are some teams right now, they can lose a game and it's really not going to matter to them. You know, like the Seattle Seahawks can lose a game. Whatever. The Seattle Seahawks are going to the playoffs and they're going to be a dangerous-ass team. The Pittsburgh Steelers are a real dangerous team, but they got to get into the playoffs first. So forget about the power rankings. You want to know what the real rankings are? Let's look at the Vegas numbers, all right? Let's look at the Super Bowl odds as they are right now. So the New England Patriots are plus 250 Super Bowl favorites. Probably going to be out without Rob Gronkowski. Does it really matter? I think it does. And I think the New England Patriots they're like a college football team that plays in a crappy conference. Let's be real. Anybody watching New York Jets play last night? I mean, come on, man. You know, Fireman Ed right now, I mean, I don't think he's putting out fires. I think he's starting fires. You know, it's like Fireman Ed, like, you know, burnt his living room down in disgust. But, you know, in all sincerity, look at, you know, the New England Patriots. They play against the Bills. The Bills are a joke, all right? The Bills are a joke. You know, the Dolphins? The Dolphins. You know, what are the Dolphins done? More people know about, like, Pet Detective and the Dolphins connection than actually do the Dolphins ever being good. All right? You know, let's be real about that. So the Patriots are real good. But that's why they don't win the Super Bowl every year, because they get into the playoffs and they're actually playing against other good teams as opposed to the piece of crap teams that they play in the AFC East. And I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, and you know it's true. It's true. It's true. It's like the Simpsons. Oh, you make this old Italian stereotype very happy. No, it's true. Yeah, I'm a Bills fan. We suck. We're a joke. Yeah, I watch enough New York Jet football to tell you that you guys blow. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins, are you guys even in the league? Like, you don't suck. You're not good. You're just sort of there. So the Patriots, I'm not ready to give them the Super Bowl just yet, but the odds makers, plus 250. We got America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, checking in at plus 400. Just not enough value for me. I told you guys to take the Cowboys when they were 12-1 last month, and the hype's going to get even bigger because they're under the big lights this week. Primetime television in New York. It's a big-time game against the Giants that the Cowboys are going to win, so don't be surprised if they go from 4-1 to like the 3-1 range. I still think the Seattle Seahawks are a dangerous team at plus 450. And then the odds makers, there's a little bit, there's a drop-off. So we got the Patriots plus 250, we got the Cowboys at plus 400, and we got the Seahawks at plus 450. And then, bam, drops all the way to 12-1. The Oakland Raiders. As the Raiders are killing the sports books in Las Vegas this year. Because, you know, listen, I lived in Vegas, and I know what it's like out there on the West Coast. All these kids that were running around starting fights wearing Kaepernick and 49er jerseys a couple of years ago, they're going to be back on the Raiders bandwagon. The Raiders are a big-ass public football team, and they're a dangerous football team. But are they really the best football team in the AFC? I don't think so. I think they're going to lose to the Chiefs, actually. I think the Chiefs are real dangerous. We'll get to them in a second. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, 12-1. Steelers control their own destiny. They need to beat the Buffalo Bills this week, but who doesn't beat the Buffalo Bills? And, you know, but I will tell you it's a dangerous game because the Bills will probably go 10-6 and end up missing the playoffs. You know, the Bills are good at home. Season's on the line for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They control their destiny. They still get the Ravens again. They can pull this off. And I think that they will, and I think they're going to get into the playoffs, and ultimately they're going to be a real freaking dangerous football team, which leads us to the Kansas City Chiefs. Odds makers have them as the fifth best team in football right now. 14-1 for Kansas City. And, you know, is this the year? Is Andy Reid, you know, with the fake punts and the returns and everything else that they're doing right now, they actually have some explosive playmakers, which they haven't had in the past. Tyreek Hill might be a freak and a jerk, but the dude's explosive, and, you know, they seem to have that it thing going for them right now. But is Alex Smith really going to the Super Bowl? You know, the only thing I can really tell you is before the year started, I told you the Pittsburgh Steelers would beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to abandon ship right now, man. I got Seattle at plus 450, Pittsburgh at 12-1, but I'm starting to buy into what the Kansas City Chiefs are selling. But, you know, like Buddy Ryan, the late great Buddy Ryan once stated about the NFL, not for long, just like my opinion. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. The show, of course, simulcast on the Fantasy Sports Network radio networks at 5 o'clock. Replays on television at 5:30. Check us out on your mobile devices. Download the Fantasy Sports Network app. We've got a legend on the program. I'm not talking about Dave Malinsky, although he's a legend as well. Chris Meany's pretty good. Not legendary yet, though. He's good. 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 Not great. No, but Meany. Yeah, Meany knows pucks, man. We're talking pucks with Meany in a couple of minutes. But Bernard Hopkins on the program a little bit later on is Bernard Hopkins' final fight, December the 17th at the legendary. I guess it's fitting. A legendary fighter ends his career at a famous arena, the Inglewood Forum in Inglewood, California, where the Rams are going to be building their new stadium, actually. So we got a ton of stuff to get to on the program. As always, let's bring in the professor. You can read his daily column over at pregame.com. Joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada, Dave Malinsky. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Well, let's start with the rant you and I were talking about before coming on the air. We got 9,000 bowl games coming up. We're supposed to like that because that means more betting opportunity. But boy, if you're a football purist, you just want to say at a certain point, especially to ESPN, enough is enough. Just cut it. Just stop. Enough is enough on this.
Well, you know what? We'll, I'm looking at the bowl, the college bowl schedule and slate. You know, there's 40 of them. So I figured, all right, I'll do a top 10 bowl games that aren't the that aren't like the, you know, not the college games or not the Orange Bowl, not the Big Six, so to speak. I couldn't find 10, Dave, that I really like. I was like, man, this is a reach and that's a reach. Like, to be honest, I think probably the most intriguing non-big time bowl game is actually in your backyard, Dave, the Las Vegas Bowl. San Diego State and Houston, that's a hell of a bowl game. Other than that, they're few and far between. You know, we got Middle Tennessee State and Hawaii and all kinds of other junk.
No, let's get right to the heart of it. Between Christmas and New Year's, that Monday-Friday cycle, ESPN is insisting on bowl games all day, every day. Weekdays between Christmas and New Year's are a terrible time for fans to travel. And look at how awful this is for the players. I mean, the morning after Christmas, December 26th, Miami has to get up and play Mississippi State at 11 o'clock Eastern. Maryland has to get up and play Boston College in Detroit around noon. Those kids are actually being taken away from their friends and family around the holidays to make trips they don't want to make, to play in games they don't want to have to play in. Also, ESPN can fill out the television grid for that week. At a certain point, you got to say, look, the kids are the priority here. Don't make anyone play the morning after Christmas. Let these kids be home with their friends and family. Play the game 2 or 3 days later. Enough is enough.
Well, you're right, Dave. They used to have the blue-gray game on Christmas. And, you know, Hawaii's the one team that can get away with it because I think the kids that are going to Hawaii are probably excited. Hey, a week in Hawaii, you know, it's okay. You know, the girls are dancing and you got the buffets and everything like that. I think the kids enjoy that. But you're right. Some of these bowl games, really, you want to go to Boise, Idaho, you know, in late December to play in front of like 17,000 people. But it's strictly made for television. So, Dave, you know, as far as the college bracket is concerned, the football playoff bracket are concerned, I agreed with your column yesterday, and you know, we'll just sort of, you know, we'll cruise through this. We won't debate, you know, which team should have been there, but are these the four best teams? Maybe not, but are these the four most deserving teams under the system and the guidelines that everyone was playing under this year? You can't argue. And it's funny because I remember even in the old BCS days, and it's always been the allure of college football, Dave. You know this, going back, you know, to the 60s, into the 70s, etc., in which it was always the, you know, the poll, the polls, the AP poll, the coaches poll. You know, what's the polls going to say? And it was always debatable, so to speak. And I think the college football powers always liked it. That, you know, yeah, it angered people, but people were debating and talking about college football. And a lot of us bitched during the BCS era, computers are making a call. It's ridiculous. But for the most part, they got it right. And once again, this year, you know, everyone in the media, we're always going to look for a controversy. We're always going to cry and we're always going to bitch about something. There's nothing really to bitch about. The final four, I don't have a beef with them.
No, let's put a little Vegas perspective in, because again, when we talk about just how good are the teams, not what's their record, what they do in their conference, no, how good are they? A lot of people have argued about Penn State getting into the playoffs. Well, Penn State's playing Southern Cal in the Rose Bowl, and in Vegas right now, Southern Cal, a 7-point favorite over Penn State, which is the Vegas way of saying that Penn State wasn't even close to being the number 4 team. So it would have been a no argument. Here's what's interesting, though, Gabe. A question came up at Point Blank today. We addressed it. People said, where does this Alabama team rate historically? And I said, here's one thing. Because Jalen Hurts is still a freshman, the offense is a work in progress. But mark this playoff roster down. Come back and look about 10 years later when they get to the NFL. I believe we will see this is the most talented team of all time. There will be more players from this Bama team having big NFL careers than any college team ever.
And, Dave, the money has come in on Alabama. It was 14, 14 and a half. I'm seeing 16s on the board right now. And there's money coming in on Ohio State right now as well. A couple of 3.5 starting to pop up. Still threes, but you got to lay juice on that. But 3.5 popping up right now. And I guess we'll find out how good Washington are. They're clearly not in Alabama's league. I haven't seen a total. I think there's going to be a ton of points put up on the board in that game.
Yeah, you've got two of the best teams in the country at scoring off special teams and defense. But I tell you what, can be a little misleading on early line moves. And veteran bookmakers will tell you that it's a real tricky process. It isn't so much that there's a lot of money to Alabama. There is no money to Washington, because anybody sharp that wants to bet Washington knows the best price will come about 2 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
If you want Washington, you just don't bet. So they're pretty confident they're going to get Washington money. They just know it will not show up this early.
Yeah, if you like Washington, wait. It might get to 17.5, Dave.
That's it. You wait around. Yeah, because remember, this is a unique time. This is also a New Year's weekend in Vegas, and this is like the all-timer, where you've got the playoffs on Saturday, the NFL on Sunday. That means a lot of recreational money coming to town. Let's put it this way. Whatever anybody has left in their pockets at the end of 2016, when they come to Vegas, they're bringing all of it with them, and they're going to bet all of it. So you're getting more money bet on games like Alabama, standalone on New Year's Eve. Who knows how many hundreds of thousands extra, maybe a millions extra, that brings into play.
All right, Dave. So the college football regular season isn't done yet. We've got one more game, Army versus Navy. Of course, one of the rivalries with the most pageantry around it, yet it's been a pretty one-sided rivalry over the last 14 years, and longer than that, but it's been 14 years, 14 straight times. Navy has beaten Army, and here's an incredible fact about this rivalry. Army haven't beaten a Navy team with a winning record, Dave, since 1899. It's almost hard to even say that. 1899. And that's not a typo. 1899. Yet, Army come in with a 6-5 record this year, Dave. You know, they've won on the road multiple times this year for the first time in forever. They're getting 6.5 points. And Navy not only lost their big-time Cotton Bowl hopes, the American Athletic Conference Championship game, but they lost their star quarterback in Will Worth, and they lost their top running back. Gully's out now as well, Dave. Is this the year that Army snaps the streak?
You know, it could happen, because here's the gamble that Navy was making when they joined the American Athletic Conference was the impact it could have on Army-Navy. So think about it now. 2 weeks ago, Navy's at SMU. They've got to win that to clinch a spot in the conference championship. They win that. Then they play Temple for the conference championship. While all that's going on, Army hasn't played since November 19th. And November 19th, they beat Morgan State 60-3. It was a walkover anyway. So all Army's been doing for almost a month is preparing for Navy, while Navy's been doing all sorts of other things. Now, they knew this can happen. They knew that any time they get to the conference championship, they got a short turnaround. So this could be the open door. Let me say one thing, though, about Navy losing out on the Cotton Bowl. Some of their kids might actually prefer it, because now they get to play their bowl game more than a week earlier, and they can stop practicing football. And I think for a lot of those kids, it's such a tough, long grind for them. They say, you know what, if we can have a week around the holidays without practicing, because Navy's going to play on December 23rd, they get to come and have Christmas with their family. They can have New Year's with their girlfriends. They're probably glad they're not going to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, a lot of teams, I would say that it's a flat spot. It's disappointing. They lost their conference championship game. But we're talking about really resilient and mentally tough kids that play for Navy. And they're not there to go to Cotton Bowls in the first place. They're there to beat Army, actually. So, yeah, I don't know if there's a letdown. But it's just, you know, with the quarterback situation, I think Army can give them all they can handle. handle. They've given a couple of close runs in the past. It's going to be intriguing to take a look at the points in that football game. All right, Dave, let's talk some NFL football. The Raiders are killing the books in Vegas. They keep covering the number, and obviously they're a public West Coast team. I don't know how good they really are, but we've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. They are 10-2 right now. They go into Kansas City. They're getting 3 points in this matchup. I think the Chiefs are a better football team. I'm starting to buy in on the Chiefs. The only thing with the Chiefs that concerns me in the big picture is the conservative nature of Andy Reid and Alex Smith at the quarterback position if they fall behind 14-3. Because, you know, they're sort of like Wisconsin, you know, collegially. They're so solid fundamentally. You know, they're not going to beat themselves, but if they fall behind, it could be a problem. But I see a little bit different Chiefs team right now, Dave. You know, running fake punts. They've opened up the offense a little bit, some trick plays. They're taking some shots down the field a little bit more. The Tyreek Hill dude has added an element to their offense, just another element. Spencer Ware is an underrated football player. And like I said, I see Reed taking a couple of more chances this year. They've been lucky a couple of times, but they're pretty resilient bunch, Dave. What do you make of this game?
Part of their resiliency is they stay in games. And that's what happens. If you don't make mistakes and you don't give anything away, you give yourself a chance to win. Sort of like a conservative golfer. Kansas City gets the ball on the green. They may not make a lot of birdies, but they get the ball on the green to be in position to it. So Andy Reid will play par golf until he gets that window. Then he'll sink the putt. What Andy Reid won't do, his teams don't commit bogeys. They don't hit the ball in sand traps. They don't hit the ball in the rough.
But he needs an eagle, and pardon the pun, he needs an eagle. He needs an eagle, or at least, you know, a couple of birdies when we get to the playoffs, Dave. Because we saw last year, you know, they do the same thing every year, Kansas City. They go into Houston, an efficient win. They did hang around with the Patriots, but they're like a playmaker or a play away from winning these big games in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's the frustrating thing for Kansas City is they played about as well as they could at New England. They didn't lose because they made mistakes. They lost because they just weren't good enough. That kind of looks like the same thing this year, except the Patriots might be just a little bit more vulnerable this time around. It will not be as daunting of a challenge, hence though why Thursday is so big. If you can reduce the playoffs to one road game, now, if you can beat Oakland and if you could somehow swing it to where you can get a home field for your first playoff, that makes a huge difference.
And weather's going to be a factor on Thursday night. 29 degrees, Dave, 13-mile-an-hour winds. Chiefs have beaten them 4 straight times in 6 of the last 7, actually. It's going to be an interesting game. Now, these games starting to count right now, Dave, and I did a little power rankings off the top of the program, and I told people to throw out the mainstream rankings, and I looked at Super Bowl future odds, and the Pittsburgh Steelers check in at 12-1, a real dangerous team, but they got to get to the playoffs first. They're at Buffalo, and Buffalo's coming off a disappointing loss, but I think they still have a couple of punches left in them before they tap out. You know, they're going to circle the wagons back home. They're a good road. They're a good home team. They're going to be fired up here. I think there'll be points in that game. The Texans and Colts are on the board this week. The Buccaneers, man. The Buccaneers are right in the mix of things suddenly right now, Dave. They're only laying 2.5. What out of these games, what catches your eye? What do you like this week?
You know, there is a temptation to look to Tampa because Tampa's doing a little bit of everything right now. That sometimes an upstart will have one or two strengths, and they'll live off of it until opponents adjust for that strength. Tampa's doing a little bit of everything right. They got Doug Martin back, so they can balance out the offense. Their defensive front has been winning the battles at the line of scrimmage the last couple of weeks. That makes a big difference. So I think Tampa's momentum may just be starting.
And I tell you what, I think the Saints are getting too much respect from the odds makers, Dave. Last week, I loved the Lions getting the points. I thought the Lions could win that game outright. They did. They were in full control the entire contest. And here we have a red-hot Buck team. I'm surprised that it's 2.5, Dave.
It's just that perception. People don't want to buy in to Tampa just yet. They're a little bit under the radar. I think part of it is people don't realize how good Doug Martin is. He's only had 2 seasons in his career when he was healthy. Made the Pro Bowl both times. So when he was out, Tampa fell way off the map in October. I think people downgraded them a little bit too much for some losses that didn't mean that much. So Tampa is under the radar.
All right. Dave, before we get you out of here, we've got an interesting college basketball Big 12 versus Big 10 matchup. Texas Longhorns are in Ann Arbor tonight to take on the Michigan Wolverines. Number was 10, down to 9.5 right now. Total up to 130.5. I look at this game, Dave, and I just think the number's a little bit too high. I am a Michigan fan, but I was surprised to see. I think this number should be more in the 6 range from an athletic standpoint. I mean, Michigan are a much more experienced team, and, you know, they've got some veterans on that team right now that are playing good basketball. But Texas have some athletes. Shaka Smart shook up the starting lineup the other night. He got some results. They put up 75, I think it was. I like the over in this game, Dave, and I like the underdog. I think it comes down to the wire, man. One of these 70 to 65 type games.
Yeah, Texas will scrap. I mean, it's a Shaka Smart team. He's got kids who will hustle, who will attack. What he doesn't have are shot makers. And that's where that balance is missing from Texas a little bit right now. They're playing awfully, awfully hard. They're competing on defense. They're hitting the boards. They're just not making shots. But when you're looking at taking a dog in this role, all you want the dog to do is compete hard. They don't have to play well to beat Michigan. They just have to compete hard enough to hang around.
Yeah, and we know that a smart coach team's not going to quit. You're right, Dave. So the back door's open. Because, you know, Michigan's not beating them by 23. So let's say everything falls into place for Michigan and they're up by 11 or 13 late. We still have a shot. And the thing with Michigan, it's all or nothing with these guys. But, Dave, we saw last night, man, and I didn't think where'd this come from UConn last night. You know, they go under the big lights at MSG, and they hold Syracuse in a scrappy game. They scrapped.
They did. And that's what you could find this time of year, though, is you get some of these outright upsets because an underdog will point to a particular game sometimes more than people realize. Yeah, there's an interesting one on the Tuesday board, and we bet this one just about every year. Smallest or shortest road trip in all of sports betting when Brown plays Providence. That trip from the Brown campus to the Dunkin' Donuts Center, 1 mile. All they have to do is cross the bridge. Yet, you know what happens every year? It is the Providence home court, of course, the Dunkin' Donuts Center. So every year it's listed as a Providence home game. The bettors price it like it's a Providence home game. Most people don't even think twice about it. It's exactly 1 mile. The weather's nice. I think the Brown kids might just walk across the bridge and play.
So you like Brown?
Also means, though, they can get a lot of fans there.
You like Brown
tonight?
That's
why you get those. Yes.
All right, good stuff. We're going to add that to the list. What can Dave Belinsky and Brown do for you? Put money in your pocket. That's what they can do for you. If you want to get smarter, read Dave's column. Point blank is the column. It's right there on the front page of pregame.com. Dave, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Belinsky with some insight. Yeah, Brown and Providence on the board tonight. Put it on the board, guys. Put it on the board. Chris Meaney joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. There's so much stuff that we could talk about right now that we could talk about. As Chris Sale is now a member of the Boston Red Sox. But we're going to talk pucks. I'll give you a chance with this. Chris Sale to the Sox.
Yeah, I mean, the Sox got a ton of prospects, right? They can part with some of these guys. Yoenis Mercado is a pretty big prospect, a nice second baseman, where a lot of people and a lot of Sox fans, I know Mike Omelon behind camera one, will tell you he a lot like Robinson Cano. So did they just give up a future Robinson Cano for a head case in Chris Sale? They probably did, but at the end of the day, he's a great pitcher. They got another lefty, so what are you going to do? You got Price, you got Sale. I think a little step back from Cy Young boy in Boston. He slipped my name right now.
Porcello,
like.
Yeah, Porcello's not.
He played a pitch over his head last
year. Yeah, exactly. That's not happening again.
But if you're the White Sox, you have to deal this guy, right? I mean, you had the LaRoe stuff. I mean, he cut up your jersey. He shredded your jersey to pieces. So
you had to get rid of him.
Yeah, the Nationals were just shy with their offer. I think Lucas Giolotto was involved in their offer. But yeah, I mean, Sale Red Sox, it's great news for Boston. And not
bad
so much
news for
the
Toronto Blue Jays.
Who can't hit lefties now because they parted ways with their two best right-handed hitters.
I'm not really sure what the Blue Jays are doing besides sitting on, like, like $24 billion, but that's besides the point. All right, let's talk some pucks right now. Oilers and Sabres tonight. They played earlier in the year. Buffalo beat them. Eichel's back now. Eichel's sort of the forgotten one in all these young stars and these young guns, but quick impact when he came back. Buffalo still struggles to put the puck in the net, but their offense is better now with Jack Eichel. Nevertheless, I like the Oilers on the road here. Something interesting about the Oilers, Chris, 14-10-3 on the season, but what catches my eye is the fact that they're 8-4-2 on the road.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing for the Oilers, a young team. You know, it's nice to get those road wins. Buffalo played last night. I'm with you. I like the Oilers. Buffalo played last night in Washington, a hard-fought game. They gave up a late goal. That game also went to overtime, so like you got to feel like they're a little bit gassed today. They're missing Josh Georges, who's one of their better defensive defensemen.
Yeah.
So he's out of the lineup. And I said this last week when Eichel was coming back when we talked, watch out for Sam Reinhart. And he's got 7 points in his last 8 games. He's picked up a point in every single game but one with playing with Eichel and Evander Kane. It's a decent line. They got a top six. They got a good top six in Buffalo, but I do like the Oilers because of the back-to-back. There's a lot of travel going back to Buffalo.
All right, the Rangers and the Islanders. The Islanders have been a disappointment so far this year, and it goes to show how much parity there is in the National Hockey League and how stupid it is when you give everybody a point all the time.
Yeah.
I don't even understand the standings anymore. I've given up. It's just stupid. But, you know, the Islanders, it's true.
They're
the worst team in the Eastern Conference, but they're 9-10. Yeah. So it's like, well, you're not really, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're all 9-10-1.
It's very true, yeah.
That's the deal. So they're not horrible, but, you know, they're not playing great hockey yet. They're going to be up for tonight's game against the Rangers. Who do you like, Chris?
I like the Rangers. I just think they're a better hockey team. I have a hard time. I don't know how you feel, but I have a hard time putting any money down on the Islanders. It's just a hard team to figure out because you said their record. They're a 500 hockey team. They're a mediocre hockey team with a good forward in Jonathan Taves and a weak supporting cast around them. I know Brock Nelson's played good lately. Josh Bailey's putting up points. But there's not a lot that I like from the Islanders team. The Rangers are slowing down offensively. They're not as good offensively as what we saw from the first month of the season. You see like guys like JT Miller, Kevin Hayes, a lot of these guys that were picked up in fantasy like crazy over the past couple weeks, 90% ownerships now getting dropped like en masse. So those are the Rangers' three best forwards, as you see there, apart from Rick Nash, who's not on that list. But I like the Rangers. They're just a more balanced team. I like the over in this game. Sometimes these teams get into a shootout.
All right, we've got a man named the Executioner ready to come up, Chris. So I don't want him to chop your head off. So we've got to be quick here. Canadians and Blues tonight. Big game. So Therrien decides to rest Carey Price tonight.
Makes sense.
The Blues are -115, -120. It's up to -160, -170 right now. I like the Blues. Blues are 9-0-3 at home.
Yeah, I like the Blues. The Blues are awesome at home, man. They're 11-1-2. The Habs are 500 team on the road. They're now without Alex Galchenyuk. This Montreal is about to go on a spin. Yeah, they're going to struggle. Galchenyuk is a guy he's their leading scorer. He's the only guy that does anything. Pacioretty's been invisible. They put Pacioretty with Galchenyuk. What does he do? He scores 2 goals. Now Galchenyuk's out. I like the Blues on home ice.
Yeah, all year they've only lost once in regulation on their home ice. And I hate, like I said, this regulation crap and all that, but they're 9-0-3 in their last 12 games at home. And as good as the Habs are dominant at the Bell Center, only 5-5-1 on the road.
Exactly.
Coming off a win in Los Angeles. Gotta believe there were some extracurricular activities on the West Coast at some point in time.
And this is game 5 of the road trip. It's been a pretty lengthy road trip for them. I think the Blues actually blow Montreal in this game.
All right. Thanks to Chris Meaney. Sorry to give you a rush there, Chris.
Thanks for having
me. So what's the deal here, Warman? We go right into B-Hop. We taking a break? All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, man, we got the real Bernard Hopkins, the Executioner, coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We're excited to welcome one of the greatest boxers ever to step into the squared circle, a man who defended his belt 20-plus times, became one of the oldest men ever to win a championship belt at a fight I was actually at the Bell Center in 2011 against Jean Pascal. He is fighting one last time. Not this, but next Saturday, December the 17th, live on HBO. And at the famous Inglewood Forum in Los Angeles, California, against Joe Smith Jr. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only Bernard Hopkins. B-Hop, man, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me here. Thanks for having me online. Hello.
Hey, sorry about that, B-Hop. We lost you for a second. Thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for being on.
Hey, no, good stuff. I know you've been busy. I know you've been doing a lot of hits. I saw you do a media hit in a conference from Joe Hand Gym. What does it feel like to come full circle knowing your final fight is coming up and you're kicking it old school in Philly like that?
A bittersweet, but it feels good. And to me, it's more of a celebration than sadness, because I know that the cherry on the top is the win. The win. Come December 17th. But, you know, you said a word that's important, full circle. And what better time and place that full circle is coming to fruition. And you know, it's a thing where, like, I feel that this is the time. And, you know, to have a credible, dangerous guy in front of me who has more pluses on the wins than negatives, and who's coming to make his own name off the back of my legacy. So I have a different way of saying to myself and anybody think that this is a walk in the park or some type of pick 'em. I'm not going to think that way because I'm defending my legacy right now.
And you've been waiting for a right spot, and timing is everything, right? Timing is everything inside the ring. Timing is everything in life. And you've been waiting for the right time and the right opponent. What was it about Joe that said, you know what, this feels right? Because as you stated, you know, you're not fighting Boxcar Willie on the way out, right, to raise your hand and to wave at everybody. You want to go out like you've been the entire time, a freaking champion. So what was it about the timing? And I want to ask you, too, was there any thought about, you know what, I want to fight my last fight in Philadelphia?
Yeah, but, you know, not to pitch your business out there, but you weren't available, so I had to fight Joe Smith.
I would have taken the fight, B-Hop. I need the money, bro. I need the money.
I know you woke up there, but you're doing good. You're doing good. But listen, all seriousness, you're right. I mean, you know, I wanted to not only have the final one, but I wanted to be a final one that it can be not only a final one of some, like you didn't say tomato can, but some Joe Smuck. To me, it wouldn't have been authentic. It wouldn't have been something that you and I would be taking seriously. And I never operated that way.
Yeah.
And you've been knowing me for a long time. This ain't our first rodeo on this phone call. And the people that actually know me, whether they disagree or agree, at the end of the day, I don't think massive people or majority of people are not surprised, but I think they're surprised that I haven't took an easy way out.
When I think back, B-Hop, when I think back, too, I think of you were the one that chasing Roy, you know, and back in the heyday, you wanted to fight. There was never anybody that you didn't want to fight in any weight class. You were willing to step up. You were going to do whatever it took to fight the best guys that were around. You had so many rivals over the years, man, from Roy to Felix to, you know, Oscar, Chad Dawson, Jean Pascal. When you look back, which rival do you have the most respect for as a fighter and as a person, Bernard?
The most rival I have respect for as a person, as a fighter, the respect for, because he eventually did fight. He eventually, and I had a conversation and just what I thought, why fight Bernard where you can get the same money or more fighting the Frazier's of the world, the Manhattan police officer, or this guy or that guy. I have respect for Roy because of his talent, believe it or not. Even though I chased him for the most years, he didn't really have to fight even then. He did. So it was like a hard-earned respect, but I have respect for him. But I don't have respect for Donna Stevenson, who had an opportunity to unify with me, and I made the choice to fight Sergey Kovalev with no but no response of that was a wrong decision. That was a decision to be undisputed lightweight champion. And that's why I mentioned his name, based on being a champion and still a belt holder. I said a belt holder today. But that's really it. That's really it. I got to give the first question to Roy because I respect him. And a lot of it got to do with because our positioning with HBO, as he do color commentating as an expert, and, you know, I do mine as the same. So, you know, getting to talk, you know, without anybody guard up and, you know, being on the same team, you know, you call it getting soft, even though you didn't say it. Maybe we're getting soft and old at the same time.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because, yeah, before you just thought about punching him in the face, right, man? And suddenly you're like, suddenly, you know, is he going to sucker punch me? You know, you become sort of adversaries. Yeah. What was it like? What's it like? Did you ever speak to Trinidad after the fact? Are there guys that you fought where it got ugly, that, you know, you wish that sometime you could have a conversation with them again ever? Have you ever spoken to him after?
No, I never spoken to Felix Trinidad. I never spoke to Antoine Echols, who me and him had two matches together.
Yeah.
Most of my opponents, they wind up missing, or you know, some you know, went to substance problems, and I'm not making fun of that, but it is what it is.
How proud are you, though, B-Hop, that, you know what, and I almost take it in my own job. Like you said, man, you know, you and I have been speaking for a long time, off and on over the years, and I'll be honest with you. I do quietly take pride in thinking, you know what, I outlasted a lot of those son of a bitches, man. Where are they right now? You know what I mean?
And, yeah, I take pride in that, but I take more pride in, you know, the non-fighters that I have outlasted for whatever reason. And it's not to actually gloat, but to myself, I said, you know, I'm glad I stuck to my guns. That's the key. I'm glad I stuck to what I believed in. And, you know, I believe there's a few things in life that you do compromise, but most things in life you don't. Because if you have to make a decision whether to compromise, 9 out of 10, it's something that you shouldn't compromise. So that's our figure that, you know, those numbers never lie, but always add up.
Roy, I was at the fight against Jean Pascal in Montreal, and I was there with my father, who's a big boxing fan. Unfortunately, he passed away. It was the last major event that I went to with him. And it's ironic because I actually watched that the Foreman Holyfield fight with him as well. It was one of the most special nights ever. And you know, it got pretty ugly with Pascal, didn't it? First in Quebec City and then Montreal. How satisfying was that for you to win that championship at that age and against somebody that it was so freaking nasty against?
I mean, it was gratifying winning it. I mean, I believe I won it in Quebec, but at least they gave me a draw. They didn't take the fight because it wouldn't have been the second one. But the Montreal fight was basically icing on the cake. It was a great event. Montreal is Montreal, but, you know, it's got the New York flavor. Got a lot of great fans, and they love boxing. And I gained and generated another fan base in Canada. Every time I go to Canada to promote with Golden Boy Promotion, with our other fighters, David Lemieux and a lot of other fighters that coming out of it, they gave me a standing ovation. Everybody wants to do an interview. They want to talk. And they want to, you know, ask me questions about, you know, what's your greatest moments, this, that, and what's next. And you look good. You look in shape. What's your secret? So Canada is a base, a home base of viewership and support. For my brand and my career until December 17th.
All right, before we get you out of here, B-Hop, and you can see Bernard Hopkins live on HBO Saturday, December the 17th from the Inglewood Forum in Los Angeles, California. Of course, you do great analyst work with the network as well, B-Hop. What's the, you know, you've been around the fight game for a long time. What's the future of boxing? Where are we going with this right now? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what's the state of the game going to be like?
Golden Boy would give you the super fights that you want, the fights that means and matters to the boxing viewership and take it to mainstream. Boxing is really, really on the rise. It never really went nowhere. It had its recession moments. But through Golden Boy, this company and others who's going to follow or already doing their own duties to make boxing still exist in a way of mainstream or may of one of the top two or three sports in this country. Boxing right now is in good, potentially great positioning. And how you do that is not by just talking about it. It's putting the right matches, the right fights against each other, whether you're on that promotional team, this promotional team, at the right time, at the right place, and boxing will be looked upon like it was when Ali Frazier, when Leonard and Hagler, and myself and Oscar and others.
You know, growing up in the 70s, that's what got me into boxing, man. You know, the Howard Cosells, the Dr. Pacheco's of the world. Free.
There goes Joe Frazier coming down like that.
Even, you know, the CBS Sports Saturday, even, man, Tim Ryan and all those free fights, Gil Clancy, you know, like that. I grew up on that stuff. I'm getting the hook, but quickly I want to throw out there, what do you tell a young fighter that says, B.O., man, I see this UFC stuff, I'm thinking about getting an MMA instead of boxing. What do you tell them?
Wear a mouthpiece.
What do you think of the Conor McGregor wants to fight everybody in boxing stuff?
I mean, good for him. If he can get a check and get a body to go in there with him and they happen to be somebody of significance, I mean, you can't blame a man for calling out who he need to call out to get his name and to show that he's the real deal. I mean, I don't knock any hustler who's hustling the right thing. And for a guy that's trying to tap into another sport and has credibility from his sport, I mean, God bless him.
Yeah, he's willing to do
the fight that he want.
Yeah, he's willing to do it. I give him credit, too. He's got balls, man. A kid's got balls of steel, without a doubt. We got to get out of here, B-Hop, but we encourage people to check out the fight. I know I will be Saturday night on HBO. B-Hop, man, you've always been one of my favorites, one of the greatest fighters of all time. You have a hell of a lot to be proud of, but I know there's work left to be done. Best of luck on December 17th, bro.
Thank you.
There's Bernard Hopkins with us, the executioner. Great stuff. I wish we had more time. We don't. Just like life itself. Game Time Decisions continues. All right, we got to be quick today with our picks, and it sucks because I wrote all these cool facts, like the Chicago Bulls were 6-0 against the spread the last six times they've been getting points. Give me the six tonight against the Pistons. Give me the Knicks tonight. The Heat are broken, man. Babbitt, Winslow, Waiters, Richardson all out tonight. San Antonio Spurs have won 12 straight. They're 12-0 on the road, man. I'm not betting against that, especially against the crappy T-Wolves. Give me the Spurs. IPFW Fort Wayne. These guys getting points against Notre Dame. Sign me up. I'm going to take it. The game's going to go over the number as well. Texas, getting too many points here. I like Michigan, but give me Texas plus the points. That game's going to go over the number. What can Brown do for you? They can cover the number. Give me the Edmonton Oilers and the St. Louis Blues.